Hey everyone, thank you for being here and watching the Pink Cloud 9 video podcast, vodcast, trademark, true crime. We have a special guest today on the phone. Is the one, the only, Michael Bain. He is a death row inmate on a murder charge and has been incarcerated since 1988. That's 35 years, y'all. So I want to hear about Michael. He's on the phone and he's going to tell y'all us the story that brought him into incarceration and what's going on now since he will be going up for an appeal as soon as, you know, things get going. So thank you so much, Michael, for being here. I appreciate you being on the phone. And if you could just tell us a little bit about your story and anything that you would like us to know. Thank you.
All right. As you said, my name is Michael Bain. I was arrested in 1988, took into trial in February of 1990. I have a first degree murder case, which is also a felony murder case. That's a murder created in the perpetration of any felony whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I went to trial in 1990. I had the quickest trial of anybody on death row. We started taking a jury on a Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. Wednesday afternoon at 3:30, I had the death penalty. That's how fast it was.
Repeat that for me one more time. It started at what? When? And it ended at when?
9 o'clock Tuesday morning. It was over with 3:30 on the. Back at 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning, it was over with Wednesday afternoon at 3:30.
Wow. Yeah.
The lawyer never tried to help me whatsoever, never done an investigation or anything.
Right.
He told me before we went into trial, he said, I could try this off the top of my head. And believe me, he did. He came into the courtroom carrying a legal tablet, and that was it.
So was that conviction done by a trial or a judge?
A trial.
Okay. Gotcha. So tell us a little bit about the story and how you ended up where you are at the moment.
They said I broke into this man's house and tortured him and killed him by strangulation. Okay. This was on November the 19th of 1988. That was on Thursday night, they said. Late Friday night, early Saturday morning that same week, I was at a motel room with an ex-girlfriend of mine. And come to find out that Donna Lovett, my charge partner on this case right here, she's been out on the street since 1998. She had called the police and told them, said, my boyfriend's in a motel room with another female. The officer told her, said, I can't do anything about this. Said, I can't do nothing about him being in a motel room with somebody else. She said, well, let me tell you about a murder that I done and he helped me with. And then from there, it just blew up and went all to pieces. She changed her story so many times and showed it her. The two witnesses they had against me was her sons. And the police that took the stand to testify against me in my trial said nothing against me. They had nothing that they could say about me. It was horrible to me, other than the fact that they took the statement from the two boys and everything. And they was like 17 and 16 and 17 or 17 and 18 at the time. And come to find out, he kept telling he gives seven different stories. The main one gives seven different stories while he was on the stand. And each time the story would change. And my lawyer finally told him, he said, I went out to that house. He said, there's no way you could have seen what you said you seen from that house, from that window. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, he says, I lied. Michael told me all this stuff. That's all I know is Michael told me all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got convicted and sentenced to death row.
Okay. I did.
Which what a lot of people. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
What a lot of people don't know is my charge partner's dad was on that Memphis Police Department at the same time. And he had a lot of friends in there. They had no evidence pointing toward me. It was all pointing toward his daughter. I'm waiting on some DNA test right now.
So the DNA test, like for what, a murder weapon or something, or right. So I did read the article that was on the, there are a few articles out there about your case, and one of them struck me. It said, did say exactly what you just said, that one of the teenage sons of one of the ladies that did say a whole bunch of stuff, that this, that, the other. And then at the end of the article, it said that he confessed to have lied about what he had said. You know, is that, does that, like, did he, was he on, was he questioned on trial? The
No,
teenager?
he's never been on trial. He
Okay.
was never on trial. He was never on trial. But
No, but
he
was
told us that
he,
he lied and everything.
right, but who did he tell? He told the police stuff, or he told like, who did he tell all this stuff about, that it was you and things?
He told it to the police.
Okay.
He told it to the police.
Okay.
And he testified to it. And then we told him that that wasn't true. There was no way he could see all this stuff coming, looking in a window that he said he was looking in. It wasn't true.
Okay,
And he
got
said
you.
that he heard it from me. Yeah.
So I don't know how
But
the, go ahead.
the other boy, he come back September 5th let's see, was it last year? Yeah, September 5th of last year, and give a statement saying that he made that his mother, his brother told him what to say. He didn't know nothing at all.
Okay. That's, okay, so Michael Bain, what can we do to help? I do not know how the appeal, process works. So if you could, let us know, what can we do? How can we
I don't know
help?
what anybody can do right now
Right.
because it's easy to get you here, but it takes an act of God to get you off. For the most part, when you first get locked up, most people just turn against you in the first place. All of my family and friends did when I first got locked up. And then you got no support whatsoever. And I think that's made to be that way because if you've got no help, you cannot do anything for yourself. You know what I'm saying? You're at the mercy of other people, and that's not good. As far as my case is going, I've been through all of my appeals in state court. Then I went into my federal habeas, and I went back to state court on this DNA Post-Conviction Act that they just recently passed a couple of years ago. So that's how I'm going to get my help, I'm hoping. But right now, there's a case pending in the criminal, at the Tennessee Criminal Court of Appeals. It's Larry McCabe versus the state of Tennessee, and that's a jurisdictional issue. That's got all the cases on death row on hold right now because they're waiting for a ruling on it. And what that case is all about is the attorney general in the state of Tennessee is telling everybody that he should have jurisdiction over all these death penalty cases. And all the DAs in the counties are saying, no, we should have jurisdiction because there are cases. And the DAs in the counties are elected in, but the one in the attorney general for the state of Tennessee, he's appointed by the Tennessee Supreme Court. So it's a big contest right now between the two, and it's not going to be good. I don't know. And until they make a ruling on that case, everything is in limbo. Nobody's their cases are not moving. As far as death penalty cases, they're not moving at all.
Okay.
They got a guy at a they got a guy that writes for the commercial appeal, and he's been writing a lot of articles. His name is Lucas Benton. He's been writing a lot of issues, the cases, I mean, a lot of articles about the death penalty and about the prosecutors and all that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Okay, so like, as far as the being on death row, when was that told to you? Like, when did you know that that was actually what was going on with you? Was it back in 1988, or was it later on, or how does that work? And do they give you all a, do they give you like some kind of, like, I mean, not a date, but like an idea, or what? How does that work?
Before you go to trial, 30 days before the trial, they tell your lawyer if they're going to seek the death penalty or not. Well, before I went to trial, they offered me some time, and I practically just refused it. I said, I didn't commit this crime. I'm not going to take no time for this crime. And
Can I ask how much time they were offering you?
60 years.
Gotcha. Yeah, I see. I see. Yeah, and look, let me
I
tell
would
you.
have been out. I would have been out 20 years ago.
Because you would only do half?
I would, yes, ma'am. I've been out 20 years ago.
I'm gonna tell you something. Something I figured out about, and I've been just studying and researching and delving into, crime cases since like 1998. It's been like 25 plus years of me just like really like consuming as much information as I can as an outsider. But I'll tell you one thing I have realized, learned, figured out, whatever. The people that not everybody, but in many cases, the people that are willing to go to trial are usually innocent because they know they're innocent and they're willing to take the chance on a trial versus taking the plea deal that you have to say you're guilty, right? To get a plea deal or something. Right. And I've noticed that the people that take plea deals are usually, I'm not saying everybody in every case, of course, but usually the ones that take the plea deal are the guilty ones because they're like, screw it, let me get this deal, get it over with, and then I'll be free, even though I did it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's what I've like noticed. Okay, well, listen, Michael Bain. You did the right thing. You did the right thing as far as, taking the chance on trial. Obviously, the system failed you, and at least you got this appeal coming up.
It's the attorneys.
Okay.
They give you these attorneys up to ever appeal. I didn't get a really good attorney till I was in federal court. Most of these state court lawyers, my original trial lawyer, I mean, for the whole trial, for all the time he was on my case, he charged the state for 68 hours for working on a death penalty case.
Gotcha.
In real life, that dude couldn't even be a dog catcher. This is
So,
no joke.
right. So, was it a court appointed or was it a private lawyer for you?
Court appointed private attorney,
Right.
Quint B. Stein. I never forget him as long as I live.
Okay.
And I've had in state court, I've had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've had 8 lawyers in state court, and not a one of them has been worth a day. They don't
Right.
try to. They don't try to help you because they're sending their kids to college off of us. You know what I'm saying? There's 45 people on death row right now. I was the 88th one in 1990, and all the people, I mean, there's about 6 of us still here from the original 88 when I first come here, and they weren't executed. They're on the streets or got time somewhere else. Most of these have been put back out on the streets. When you first come here, they say you're the worst of the worst, but sooner or later you get your case overturned. Tennessee has the highest turnover rate of any state in the nation.
Turnover on
And a lot of people don't even know that.
what type of turnover are you talking about?
They get their cases completely overturned. They get off of death row. The court overturned the case and send them back.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we're coming up on 15 minutes. Any last things that you would like to leave us to think about or know about?
Here's the thing, right? From start to finish, until you get your story out there, all the public only hears one side of the story, and that's the prosecutor's side. It's avenues and venues like yours and like other podcasters and people that want to write articles about the people here. It's y'all that make the difference because y'all tell the public what it's all about. And the death penalty is not a deterrent in the first place. What the death penalty is politics. And it's about money.
I
That's all
agree.
it's about, politics, but that much. I guarantee you, if you look at everybody's case on death row, it's usually around election time when they go to, or that election year when they go and get the death penalty. They have hundreds of murders every year, and there hasn't been anybody new put on death row in the last 3 years. Think about that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you are a God person, man, but I'll be praying for you and putting you up in the prayer circles, around here and stuff. Thank you so much for being here, Michael Bain, and I appreciate your time. And I'll be sending this over to anonymous friend, and that way you can hopefully be able to watch it and then see what see if
If you want to, you can tell people my websites too, and they can go look at it for themselves. All my stuff is on website.
Okay, great. What's the website? And also, I can put it in. I can type it in the description of this video
Okay,
podcast so they can link it.
on Instagram, it's Tennessee Death Row Inmate Seeks Justice, and Tennessee is just TN. And on the website, it's freemichaelbain.weebly, weebly.com.
Weebly, yeah, I'm familiar with that one. Okay, do the Instagram one again. It's TN.
Death Row Inmate Seeks Justice. Tennessee Death Row Inmate Seeks Justice.
Gotcha. All right, very cool. I will find it and I will put it in the description so they can have a link to link it right from the video. All
Thank you.
right.
Appreciate your help any way we can get.
Well, you deserve it. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful rest of the night, and appreciate you being here.
I appreciate you.
You too. Bye-bye. Wow, what an emotional roller coaster. Thank you so much for listening and for having had this connection. Is really like just makes me feel so grateful about like my life so much more. But anywho, I don't want to keep talking and talking because I could. Anyway, I hope you watch this sh the video. Please replay it. Please help Michael Bain, death row inmate on a murder charge since 1988. He's been in lock up for 35 years. If he would have taken the plea deal, he would have already been out. Now he's going up for appeal. Please check out his website in the description below. There will be a link. And he also has an Instagram, just because I'm pretty sure that they post like information and updates on the case and the appeal and things like that. Thank you so much for being here. Let's not forget Michael Bain, death row inmate on murder charge since 1988, going up for appeal. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night.